Hi guys, welcome to the second ever Mystery Nerdcast. This is Chris Budamashingo, and then I've got, as always, I've got my co-host slash sound engineer, Miguel Torres.
Good evening.
And then I've got my good friend, and will be a good friend of the podcast, you'll hear him on a lot of podcasts, Kenny Liu.
Howdy guys.
Alright, so let's just jump right in. This week, we are talking about superheroes. Yay! I think we all can identify with superheroes at some point. Everybody loves superheroes. Not everybody, but most people love superheroes, especially in America. They're really big right now with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, especially, but also DC. A lot of independent superheroes have been coming out in the last couple years, but today we're going to discuss mostly just kind of our favorite superheroes, what we like about them, what we don't like about them, like just kind of go through that. So let's start off with the first question. So as always, I'm going to start off with the person to my left who happens to be Miguel again, and then we're going to come full circle to me and we will all discuss the topic at hand. So first off, we've got, who is your favorite superhero? So, Miguel, there's a lot of superheroes to choose from, but only one can be your favorite. Who's your favorite superhero?
It will be Deadpool, because he has a really tragic backstory, but he tries to make up the best of it. He, in the beginning, wanted to be a superhero by himself, you know? So, to me, he wanted to be better. And his wacky style that he has makes it, like, a little odd compared to the regular formula of superheroes. So I really like him because of that, especially with his like four wall breaking jokes and whatnot, and he's a really good fighter, even though he's really careless during battle.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go over to Kenny. Kenny, who's your favorite super? I actually know the answer to this question already. This is just for the listeners, really. Who's your favorite superhero and why?
Well, my favorite superhero,
Aquaman.
Definitely love Aquaman.
It's actually be like Ed Boon, dude. Yeah. Ed Boon loves Aquaman. That's why he's so OP in Injustice.
Honestly, I have nothing against Aquaman, but my personal favorite is, and it's probably going to be everyone's personal favorite, but I will fight you to the death to say that he's my favorite, and it's going to be Batman. Reason for me liking Batman is that they made him pretty OP, but lately, the reason why I really like Batman is that he's an average human. I mean, he's a human surrounded by supernatural, superpowered, whatever people. But he has one of the seats on the Justice League. He is one of the heads of the Justice League, counting, among Superman and Wonder Woman. Both in power level far surpasses his own, because he's just human. But the reason why I like him so much, is he's a detective first and foremost. He trains to peak condition. He keeps himself trained and upkeeps himself to make sure that he's with the best of them. He doesn't rely on his power. He relies on his brains. Money.
The power of money.
But some of the comics lately have been showing him without money, so that's gonna be a fun read. But him himself is a walking think tank that can think of anything and everything to get around you. And around any type of, I would say, adversity that he faces, whether it be impossible and either triumphs or delays it long enough for his team to triumph. But he is the chess master of all superheroes. If you think two moves ahead, he's already 100 moves ahead, and he already gotten you beat. He's just going along for the ride. So that's my hero.
Well, there you go. Fan favorite right there. I would say that Batman especially, I mean, you know, I wasn't around in the 80s, but I mean, I've been told, and I can kind of observe it, is that ever since the first Batman movie came out, his popularity has soared. I mean, with Adam West's Batman especially as well, in the 60s, that really propelled I think that was the start of Batman's true stardom and centerdom. Like, he was always a center character because people loved Batman and Robin anyway, but that really put him in the public eye. And then Tim Burton made the Batman movies, which in a lot of people's opinion, and in my opinion as well, were superior to the Superman movies at the time, but, you know, you'll have people on both sides of that fence, too. My favorite superhero...
Actually, I also know this one, too, so... Aquaman.
Actually, Kenny might be surprised by this, because I'm not going to pick somebody... I'm not going to pick anybody from Marvel or DC, actually, so he probably actually knows who I'm going to pick. I actually, my favorite superhero of all time is actually Spawn. So, yeah. Kenny knew that one too. Of course. But
I knew both. I know actually his first and his second favorite.
Right. My second favorite being Green Lantern. But I mean, I think Spawn was the comic book hero that really got me into comic books. Cause before that, I would watch Super Friends, and, you know, I watched the Batman TV show just like everybody else, and I watched the Superman and the Justice League TV show, but Spawn, I actually, because there were the HBO specials, I started watching Spawn, then I watched the movie, and then I was so intrigued by it that I had to read the comics, and after I started reading Spawn comics, I just was like, why don't I just read all these other comics that seemed to interest me as well? So I think Spawn was really my tipping point, and to this day, really, I have a lot of Spawn memorabilia. If you ever go into my room, I have at least, how many Spawn action figures do I have on my wall, Kenny?
Let's see, you have one, two.
I have at least four Spawn action figures. Well,
you have two, I know you have two Spawns.
God damn it.
And, yeah, I think you have like at least two Spawns, and, I know, don't you have like a, are they all Spawns? Cause I'm pretty sure you have like two Spawns and like.
Well, I have the Redeemer as well.
Yeah, you have the Redeemer.
Well, I mean Spawn action figures in general.
Oh yeah, like the whole comic book series?
Right.
Cause I know you have two Spawn and I see them on your wall.
Right, and then I have the Redeemer as well. But I love Spawn. I love his powers. He was one of the, I would say in the 90s especially, he was the most popular African-American superhero, actually, which is funny.
Yeah,
I never actually looked at him like that, and I don't really, I never cared, and I still don't really care one way or the other. But he was just a cool superhero, and he was inevitably flawed. I mean, he was the spawn of hell. And that was to me at the time, it was a very interesting take. That you could take somebody who inherently was so evil and he could take that evil and be good with it. So, I mean, that whole concept really kind of intrigued me. Also, just the sheer concept of his powers, like his powers were so abstract and the art was so good. And there was a lot of factors that really put Spawn on the top, but I especially, and we'll tackle this later, I especially like that he would kill, maim, and humiliate his opponents whenever he could. And at the time, you know, I grew up with a lot of superheroes that would just put their supervillains in jail so that they could break out, but we'll get to that all later. So, and that kind of leads into an interesting discussion of, you know, what do you think about the moral ambiguity of superheroes, really? That's another one of the questions I have right here, so we're just going to jump into that. What do you think of the moral ambiguity of superheroes? Should they be able to kill? Should they not be able to kill? Should they kill all the time? Should they use their discretion to kill? Like, what are your thoughts? I'm going to pass it to Kenny.
Well, if you look at it, I think when superheroes were first being, you know, like thought up back in the 1940s and the 1930s, 1920s, like Superman and all that, to kill really was not their guiding point because like certain, depending on the heroes, obviously, but it feels like more in the lines of like back then. If you were doing bad, like I know back when Batman first started, he had a gun, he shot, and killed some people. But it was more in the lines of, like, I think the culture back then was more not to kill, more so. And with certain characters like Batman, to kill when necessary. But I would say it's a bit of both. But as we're moving into the 21st century and really just looking at it, some heroes are getting okay to kill. If you think about it, it's okay to kill. But some heroes are innately, they can't kill because that's
who they are.
That's who they are. So that's their... that's their, I would say, yeah, that's who they are, and that's their, like,
the foundation
how, of yeah, the foundation of who they are. So, like, especially Superman, him now still would not kill.
And, I don't know. Have you seen Man of Steel?
Wow. Yeah. But historically, in his comic books, he tend not to kill. Not to kill. If you look at, if you look at Batman, he tends not to kill. But then if you look at, other side of it, like, Wonder Woman will not hesitate to kill.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. She will kill her enemy.
But I think it's innate to the character and what people want to write. But like, to have Superman kill now would probably shake up the foundation of who he is. While Batman, you could flow actually both ways. Cause I feel like technically if you watch, The Dark Knight, or not The Dark Knight, Batman Begins, he did let Ra's al Ghul die, but he was like, I don't have to save you. Nothing, you know, so there's that. But I would say overall, we're moving to a point where comic books with the characterization they want to do, can superheroes can kill? Yeah, why not? I mean, if the enemy is deemed that dangerous, why not, you know, kill them? But then the question goes into, you know, who is, you know, like, is it like right to play God? Like, there's a lot to like, to go into. But I would say, yes, that depending on how the writer wants to write, superheroes can kill if it's for a just cause. But then we're getting into a sticky situation, but it's a comic book. So relax and enjoy it.
I think also, like, just to touch on one of your points before I pass it off to Miguel, one of the points of that whole argument, how back then the culture, they weren't really, killing people. They were, but then, as a lot of nerd historians know, at some point, there were PTA protests, there were, public outcries, there were whole books, written on the, basically the degradation of a society, the, just the disparity of a society. And then the comic book code was created. And then after that, you couldn't depict death. So Batman, who up until that point did have guns and would shoot people and kill people, in certain situations, that all got cut out. So, and then people don't remember those really early comics. So when you're talking about should they kill, should they not kill, a lot of people bring up, oh, well, Batman never used to kill anybody. And that's bullshit.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, we, like I said, it's based on the time of when comic books are written, and of course, what comic book is perceived as. It's a media back then was perceived as kids. So, but now as we've grown and as we've matured, and so has the comic book, it's not for kids, it's for everyone. So yes, there's gonna be comic books that you see heroes kill, or be killed, and you're gonna see other comics that are the same characters do the exact opposite.
Yeah, that is true. For me, I do see that superheroes should kill, but not all the time. Depending on, like Ken said, depending on who is the threat. Because, like, for example, the Joker, no matter how many times, Batman puts him in Arkham Asylum, he always escapes, and every time he escapes, he tries to outdo himself, like, just before. How many people can he kill? How much he can put the police in a corner? How many times he can put Batman into a trap? You know, yeah. And the thing of Joker is like he doesn't want to kill Batman. He just wants to toy with Batman and with society itself. Just causing suffering. No, doesn't care about his own safety at all. Too.
Yeah, it's very true. I think superheroes should kill. I mean, the slippery slope you get into is where do the superheroes, what moral authority gives them the right to kill or not kill people? But then at the same level, you go, what gives a police officer or who gives anybody the right to kill anybody else? And so, I mean, it gets into this really slippery slope where it's like, do you kill people or not? And, I mean, frankly, it's up to the individual to decide, because honestly, like, if somebody from the government says you shouldn't kill anybody, you could turn it back on them and say, well, you send people to kill people every day. How is this any different?
Right.
but that's all subjective. And some people will argue social contracts and stuff like that. But really, how is the U.S. government or any government around the world any better than just a bunch of guys dressed up in tights going around?
Well, yeah. I think the reason why is that it's not really a moral ambiguity, but it's like the accountability.
Yes.
So it's more like we know who the government is. And there are some accountabilities for like when, you know, government kills. Now here's the question going back to the heroes. We don't know who they are. I mean, some of them we do, but like, we don't know that Batman's Bruce Wayne. So if he goes and one-offs a guy, how do we know that Bruce Wayne didn't do it and it was Batman? We don't. We just know that Batman did it. So I think it goes on to not that they should kill or not. It's who's going to control their kill. Who's going to watch them? Like,
who watches the Watchmen?
Yeah. Also, superheroes have to have a bottom line of how much they can tolerate. And most of the heroes, they don't. They just go over and over under the same pattern.
Right. It's like beating your head against the brick wall, going, man, that was stupid, and then doing it again.
Yes.
So,
to a degree, I would say the reason why the writers are writing the heroes not to kill is that they want to put the heroes at a higher pedestal than the villain. So there's gray zones.
There's a dichotomy between. Yeah,
they want to be able to say black and white, my hero's good. Black and white, this villain's bad. Why? Because the villains kill and the heroes don't. But like you brought up, Joker escapes Arkham every single time and kills hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of people. If anything, he probably has a kill list of bigger than Hitler. But
probably.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, Batman killing Joker, it would not be the good move because Batman's right. Where do I stop?
Well, yeah.
But
well,
if Superman kills the Joker, then...
Injustice happens.
So this can go into the best series that I would recommend you guys all watch is Justice League, Justice Lord episode, and even pick up the Batman Beyond Universe comic book and just read that section where about the Justice Lord, that and play Injustice. That's kind of like this conversation that we're having right now. It's a good kind of like, when is it right to kill? And what happens when a hero does start? Does he lose his mind and go on
So I think that's always a possibility, but it's not not that comic books are realistic. They're not, but it's not realistic to think like, oh, Superman snapped this one time, now he created the world government. I think it's a cool story, and I love it, and I'm not dissing it, but I don't think that's necessarily what Superman would do.
No, not necessarily, but, I mean, it's just a story that they thought of, but, like,
I think it's cool.
Yeah, Superman killing, like, let's say, Joker, he wouldn't go on a rampage and go home and kill every villain, but he would definitely look at who needs to die. Like, oh, you've killed X amount of people, you're definitely... Like, the best hero for that? Let's just put in Judge Dredd. Judge Jury, and Executor.
Right. They are given the authority in the United States to kill anybody. They're Judge Jury and Executioner.
Yep.
Judge Dredd was... Oh my god, I'm unprepared. Actually, I wasn't going to talk about Judge Dredd. who were they published by? Go ahead and look. Oh, they were published by...
Yeah, we are unprepared.
Well, I didn't know we were going to talk about Judge Dredd.
Well, I mean, I feel like with the question that was brought up, like...
It will show up eventually.
It was published in a magazine, something 2000 AD.
No. So he first showed up in IPC Media and then Rebellion.
I know now they're like at DC, aren't they?
They are now currently with, cause they're a British, actually. Judge Dredd is a British company.
Yeah, it is.
Actually, no, they are still, is he with someone now? No, I think he's still part of Rebellion Development, so he's still kind of like,
independent.
Now, independents are cool. I love independents.
They have quite a good idea.
My favorite superhero, which is Spawn, no pun intended, out of an independent comic publisher, which is Image, still around today. But, you know, when you talk about superheroes, you're really talking about anybody from Marvel or DC, really.
The two majors.
Yeah, those are the two major ones. So that leads me into my next question, Marvel or DC. I'm actually going to start this one and say, historically, I've been for DC. I've always been for DC, especially when I was a kid. I liked DC a lot more. The powers were greater. I love more powerful powers.
More creative powers.
Well, they're not very creative.
Copy and paste.
But as I get older, I really like Marvel more right now. Right now I'm on Marvel's side. Ever since Disney bought them, they've been just kicking it out of the park. If you've read the comics, they're taking risks. I thought when Disney bought them, I was like, oh man.
They're gonna
make everything very childish or friendly to children, but they're really not. They're actually really going a lot darker than Marvel was going. They just published this one called Superior Iron Man, where basically Iron Man becomes a villain. This guy who we love from the movies becomes, I mean, he's always been a dick, but he's really a villain. Like he's fucking with people, like, left and right. And he's doing some evil genius shit right now. So, just based on that. And my favorite superhero before Spawn really came into the picture was actually Spider-Man. And he's my favorite Marvel hero. Please, God, let there be a good Spider-Man movie within the next 2 years.
Come on, Sony.
Well, no, fuck that. Disney's got it at this point. Well, they're funding part of it, so, if that all goes through and goes well, hopefully we'll be getting a good Spider-Man movie within the next couple years. And I just have not ultimate unwavering faith, but right now I think Marvel is way more on the ball than DC.
Yes. Well, when Disney bought Marvel, I actually didn't see them, like, kiddifying Marvel itself. Because Disney, even though it's a family company, they actually can get pretty dark.
Well, they did produce, now they did it under Touchstone, but they did produce Nightmare Before Christmas. They have made rated R movies before.
Well, yeah, but like, if you analyze some of their movies, the way that some of the villains die, it's actually pretty sadistic or gruesome.
Well, Scar got eaten.
Yeah. And, in, Tarzan, what's his name of the villain? I forget his
yeah, name. Yeah,
the hunter? Clayton.
He got hung by a vine himself. And you saw the silhouette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can tell me that they're that kitty.
Yeah.
And actually, with Marvel, it was a great opportunity for them to expand out of what they're known for.
That's true. And I think, like, especially with Big Hero 6, because that's what I thought they were going to turn Marvel into when I first saw it. But, you know, especially with Big Hero 6, that is kind of that niche. They're like, we're going to make a Marvel Disney movie, and that's that. But the Marvel movies in the cinematic universe are very separate from that, and I like it.
Oh, yeah. Plus, there's also a few characters that, yeah, they do apply to that genre that you were thinking first, but most of the Marvel characters are serious hitters.
Right. What about you, Kenny? What do you think about Marvel versus DC?
I would have to go with, I'm copping out, but I'm gonna go with both because I like what both brings to the table. For me, Marvel has always been a little bit more lighthearted than DC, though DC does have some moments. But
people would really disagree with you on that point.
That's fine. I'm just going off of what I've been reading. Like, I've been reading Miss Marvel, that's fairly lighthearted. I've been reading what have I been reading on the DC side?
You read Batman, Beyond the Universe.
Most of Batman's are fairly dark. But overall, I think both brings a lot to the table. Though lately, I agree with Chris, Marvel has been stepping up their game and taking risks that I think are just right. Like the idea of, like, Miss Marvel, I had so much fun with. But, oh, you know what? That's it. DC would have to say there is some lightheartedness over there because I am reading Batgirl starting at issue 35 with the new Batgirl outfit and everything. And I thought that was funny and awesome too. So overall, I think both are bringing a lot to the table and trying to kind of modernize themselves. But overall, Marvel or DC, like, I like both stories a lot. It's just a matter of what heroes I'm interested in, what comic books and stories are written. So I'm going to go with both. But if we're going to go to Marvel movies, Marvel has always been more the lighthearted movie with some dark tones, minus the, like, how they're proceeding with, like, Winter Soldiers and stuff like that. But then with DC have been trying to do this, you know, Christopher Nolan dark greediness, and that proceeded with Batman and its popularity. But overall, I would say that in terms of the comic books, I think both are doing great and that they have stories that I enjoy and love to read. But with the movie side, I'm going to give it to Marvel because they have a more cohesive and kind of lighthearted fun, while DC is more trying to imitate the success of Batman, Christopher Nolan's Batman, trying to be a little bit more greedy and dark. If you look at like Man of Steel and stuff like that, and even looking at the stills and kind of like the pictures for Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice, that one feels a little bit like dark and gritty. So we'll see how they go with it, but I think in the movie cinematic, DC needs to find their stride. But I think that's why I like their TV shows, is because it works. So let's have them swap teams, you know, like Marvel movies go to DC, DC TV show goes to Marvel, and we can kind of get that whole feel, like proper together, you know, like both of them help each other out. Cause I think the world would be better if we got Amalgam Comics back again, you know, Marvel and DC.
Well, Amalgam was its own
thing. I know, it was their own thing, but, you know, like, come on, I want to see Dark Claw.
That'd be sweet. They're just like, fuck it, and they just made a bunch of...
Yeah, so for those who don't know who Dark Claw is, Wolverine and Batman combined. Yeah. You know, that's not broken.
What about you, Miguel? Well, Marvel or DC?
Actually, I will be your foil, since I started reading Marvel back in the day, and I really liked it. But recently I've been reading like a few spin-offs of DC, like Son of Red, Superman, alternative comic, and I've been enjoying them a lot, you know. I know some of the history of the DC characters, and I've been getting more intrigued on like not only the main stories, but like older side stories, how small things can change the characters so much for basically gods. That's what DC characters are more than Marvel. They're basically, most of them are gods. Well, a few normal characters that they're resourceful are within the ranks. But if you think about it, they're superior in all ways. You know, like, like Superman.
Right.
Mary Sue, well, Mr. Mary Sue.
Even if you watch, there was I don't know how long ago it came out, but it came out a while ago. It was Justice League War. And at the end, they're sitting there and Wonder Woman is whispering to Superman on a pedestal. And they look over and she goes, "It feels good to be part of a pantheon." And Superman's like, "What?" And then they look over and she goes, "Hades," talking about Batman, "Zeus," talking about Shazam, "Poseidon," talking about Aquaman. Blah, 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 blah. So that kind of actually does mirror that. They're kind of like, as opposed to Marvel, which are just, I think that it's like, what kind of story do you like more? Do you like when there's a bunch of normal people trying their fucking hardest to just try to get something done? Or do you like when there's a pantheon of superhumans, really.
Super beings.
Yeah, super beings trying to do the same thing. Now, DC has injected a lot of humanness into their comics where it wasn't before, because that was one of their main criticisms.
Yeah.
Even a lot of the creatives over at DC said they would rather be writing Marvel characters, not because that they didn't like the powers that the DC characters had, but because they couldn't get very human with it. And so, especially with the new 52, they've really been spreading their wings on how human they get with it. But, you know, every good superhero, no matter if they're Marvel or DC, deserves a good supervillain. Yes. And I think every single superhero has at least one really good villain. If not, like, I would say Spider-Man and Batman have the best rogues gallery.
Oh, yeah.
Really, like, because if you look at Spider-Man's, a lot of his villains are so good, they just end up fighting other heroes that aren't Spider-Man. And same thing with Batman, as you get a lot of his villains, even though they're really meant to fight Batman because not a lot of them have really crazy superpowers, they still end up fighting
Superman,
Wonder Woman, and all these other crazy superpowered superheroes. So that leads me to my next question, which I'm going to pass off to Miguel first. Who's your favorite supervillain?
My favorite supervillain would be Lex Luthor. He's just a regular guy, just like, it's basically evil Batman. He's a genius.
Evil Batman, that's pretty good.
Yeah, resourceful. He has a silver tongue, and he's always, he never gives up, even no matter how many times he gets beat by Superman. And,
that's very true.
Yeah, and sometimes he has even gone after other heroes other than Superman.
That's true. He always has a plan, too.
Yeah.
Kind of like,
actually,
kind of two like plans. Batman. Yeah, that's true. He's always got a, kind of like Batman. He's always got a contingency plan. What about you, Kenny? Who's your favorite supervillain?
Most people would say Joker because he's a foil to Batman, and I would somewhat agree sometimes, but I think my favorite villain, it's really rough because I like.
You could say Joker. I mean, it's a popular answer, but no, so is Batman is your favorite hero.
No, Batman is my favorite hero, but Joker, I like a lot, but there are times where Joker is like, I'm like, yeah, he's a bit too much. I would say, funny enough, my favorite villain is actually going to be Miguel's favorite hero, is Deadpool. Because he actually will jump back and forth. He doesn't give a shit.
He's unstable.
Yeah, he's unstable. But like comics where he's the villain, he'll bring the same qualities of him being a hero. Not really the same qualities, excuse me. Brings that attitude to him with him. Because he's a merc with the mouth. So whoever pays him is who he's going to work for. So for me, I enjoy like Deadpool being my favorite villain just because he's so fun. I see him more as a villain than a hero, so that's why I'm gonna pick him. But he's so fun to play with, like, or to even not even play with, just like read, because he's like, he doesn't give a shit. He thinks everything's a game. Hell, he even thinks that, and he loves to break the fourth wall. I love some comics that break the fourth wall because that's the characterization and that's what he does and it's so fun. But for me, like when the one comic book when he was talking to Wolverine and he's trying to pick a fight with Wolverine and he shurikens freaking Wolverine's girlfriend, that's rich. That's hilarious. When he's in the, you know, Deadpool kills the Marvel universe, you know, he's definitely the villain in that one. And he goes around killing people.
Still the protagonist, though.
Doesn't change the fact he's still a villain.
That's true.
Yeah. The villain can be a protagonist.
Yeah, definitely. Those are interesting comics, too.
Right. So, like, for me, Deadpool is my favorite because he gives no shit. He's pretty much what a villain should be, but then you can argue that he's an anti-hero. But he's pretty much a villain should be, where he gives no shit, he gives no fucks, he does what he wants, and he does it for fun. And a little bit of money, but he mainly does it for fun and then fucks
with people. Yeah, he does it for money too. He is the merc with a mouth.
But he'll break the fourth wall and be like, because people are like, what? Who is he talking to? Why is he insane? Because he's insane. But he knows he's in a comic book. He knows he's in a video game. He knows he's in a movie. So overall, he is my favorite villain. Because of just how the dynamics that he brings to the table, his story, and to the stories of others.
I got you. Well, my favorite villain, surprisingly enough, is actually a Batman villain. It's Scarecrow. Scarecrow is my number one favorite villain. I mean, the runner-up would be somebody from Marvel. My runner-up would be Venom, because I love Venom, but I
love the Venom.
Everybody loves Venom, but I mean, the thing why I didn't say Venom is I like Venom more like an anti-hero, when he's kind of like an anti-hero, which currently in the comics, that's what he is. So I'm going to go with Scarecrow, because every comic I've ever read with Scarecrow, I've never not been interested. Also, my favorite holiday is Halloween, and I like, there's a lot of stuff that kind of goes with his motif. The Scarecrow, he's always scary. I love horror movies. I love heavy metal. I like to be scared. And so, I've never read a comic with Scarecrow that I wasn't at least somewhat interested in. So, I mean, just based on that, I love Scarecrow. Even his movie iteration in The Dark Knight, which arguably is the second weakest
iteration,
second weakest as far as how they translated it into those Dark Knight movies. I still like that one. I love the fear gas. I'm like, I want to see what they see when they do the fear gas, because I think that's cool. And he's very in your head kind of stuff. And he is one of the only villains that can make Batman fear anything, which is great, because Batman's, I think one of the things I like about him too is that Batman's most potent weapon is fear. And to see a villain turn it around on him like that is pretty cool. But you know, we've talked about our favorite superheroes. We talked about our favorite supervillains. But, you know, in comic books and other media, there's always those heroes that you wish would just fall over and die, or never show up again on the screen, at least, or in a panel. So, who is the lamest superhero? There's a lot to choose from. There's a lot of, I would say, unnecessary, even just goofy, stupid superheroes. So I'm going to start with Kenny. Who's the lamest superhero?
Wow. I don't know if I really say that. I mean, yeah, there are lame superheroes, but I don't know if
you can pick on Jubilee, because everybody does anyway.
Well, that's the running joke, and she is pretty lame, but I would say, yeah, Jubilee's pretty lame. But I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, who I would think is lame. You know what? I don't like Booster Gold. Fuck him.
Knew it.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Booster Gold.
What don't you like about Booster Gold?
Honestly, Booster Gold is not a bad hero, per se, because he is super strong, he has a power armor, basically.
Is he lamer than Elongated Man?
Yes.
Or Bouncing Ball Boy.
To me, his personality is what I don't like, and that's why I think he's a lame superhero. So this is more like, would I read a Booster Gold comic books? Not really. If it was written by Grant Morrison or Jeff Johns, okay, maybe. That's just because I like them. But, if you said, here, read this Booster Gold comic book, I'd look at you and be like, how about I'll gouge out my eyes? How about that? No, I don't like him because his personality is, he went back in time to try to be famous. He took all the technology. He was pretty much an everyman in the future, but with all this technology, and came back into the past to say, I'm going to get rich and fuck bitches. And I'm going to do it under the guise of a hero. So really, everyone who's generally a hero are fighting for personal, like, you know, Superman. Because I want to be the best that I can be with the powers given to me. Batman, to not have another 8-year-old go through what I have and clean up Gotham. Like Wonder Woman, well, she's a warrior, but for the good. Hers is more like she's a warrior princess. Oh, look, Xena. Green Lantern is because he is a guardian of his sector, but not only that, but the guardian, he is an officer of the universe. Essentially is what the Green Lanterns are. Yeah. Like they're the police of the universe. They're the Nova Corps of DC.
What about you, Miguel? Who's the lamest superhero?
So yeah, fuck you, Booster Gold.
Okay.
Well, for me, I still have a bunch of superheroes to learn about, but it will be Mr. Invincible, because his only power is that he can die. Yeah. No, that's it. His power is he can die. His family died, and he was, most of his comics was like depressed. And he became a superhero, but he keeps trying to kill himself, even though he knows he can die.
Yeah, that's...
That's pretty lame. I mean, if you were gonna make someone immortal, I mean, at least give him a backbone, you know? Jeez. It's the only superhero that have actually, Red Dark is really lame and pathetic, has no personality, has low self-esteem, and I don't see why they even make him. How about you, Buddha?
There's a lot of lame superheroes out there. I would have to say, really, I just, go away. would probably, and has no use, because, like, I hate Cyclops, but at least the motherfucker's useful. Like, he steps up to the plate every once in a while.
If the question was, who's the douchiest fucking
Cyclops would be on the top. I would probably have to say Bouncing Ball Boy from the year 3000. So there was a storyline, just to give you the Reader's Digest version, where Superboy got put into the future with the Legion of Superheroes, and then there's Bouncing Ball Boy, whose superpower is to turn into a bouncing ball and hit other people. Don't get me wrong, I could cosplay as this guy, he's about my build, but I'm like, every single comic I ever see him in, he turns into a bouncy ball, he goes to attack the villain, and the villain smacks him away like he's nothing. So, not only does he have lame power, he's not very intelligent, but he also never contributes really to a fight. He does, I'll give him, he has heart, he'll go and try, but trying and succeeding are two very different things. So, I mean, Bouncing Ball Boy's got to be number one on that list. But all these lame superheroes are pretty obscure. But there also are plenty of obscure superheroes that are pretty awesome. So, that leads me to my next question. Who is an obscure superhero that we enjoy or would like to see in a movie or both? So I'm gonna start with Kenny this time.
I don't know if I have like any obscure like comic book superhero that I like. I'm trying to think. Like,
we'll pass it off to Miguel
now. Yeah, do Miguel.
I will say Bobo, the detective chimpanzee. Yeah, he is actually pretty cool. He's a super smart chimpanzee who, for some reason, got his powers by drinking from the Fountain of Youth. He can talk, he can think, and he during the day, he's a zoo chimp. Weird, right?
Yeah.
That reminds me of Dexter's Laboratory, that monkey.
Yep. Oh, and actually, he has helped Batman solve crimes. Yeah, he actually, there's a comic where he texts with Batman through a chat room. You could say he was using Skype.
Oh, okay, I got you. Well, Kenny, I'm going to feed you one, and you're going to be totally on board with this answer, because you'll never see him in a movie unless they reach real deep into the DC universe. Your favorite obscure superhero is the Question.
Damn it, how'd you read my mind?
Yeah, so...
No, because after you said that, I sat there and I realized, the Question... Wait, how'd you guess?
How did I guess? Because I know you, and I like the Question, too, so...
Yes, no, okay, yeah, after okay, we're talking...
Before yeah. Kenny answers... He likes the Question because he's a normal guy like Batman that solves crimes like Batman, and he's like Batman.
Yeah, no, he is like Batman, but he's funnier and more paranoid. The reason, if you ever watched, again, for you guys out there who haven't watched the Justice League, watch it. Question is the tinfoil hat of Batman. he everything's a conspiracy to him. Anything and everything, you think of 9/11 conspiracy, he's thought of it. You think of the aliens Roswell, he thought of it. And he's linking them both together. Not that they're separate incidents, that they're together. The why Question is, you know what? Chris is right. The why I love the Question so much is because he is like Batman, but he's like Batman's sillier version.
He's like Batman's paranoid older brother or something.
Yeah, something like that. But then he gets one of the hottest freaking anti-hero, freaking Huntress. That's hilarious. And again, this is only to the TV show. I'm sure like the comic book is a little different. And then, of course, for those who don't know, Question is actually not a chick. So I haven't read the new comic book, so I have to check that out. But the Question that I'm referring to is from Justice League animated series TV show. So give that a shot.
Well, now, initially, my answer for this question would have been Rocket Raccoon, but now he's not obscure anymore. He was, but Guardians came out and blew that shit up, so he's not my favorite obscure superhero because, again, he's not obscure anymore. But who I would like to see on screen would actually be Booster Gold. I think...
Fuck Booster Gold.
I think Booster Gold would really, because what happens is, so just like Kenny was saying earlier, so Booster Gold is a janitor in his timeline. There's no real prospects for him. He used to play their equivalent to football in the future. And then he was sitting there and he worked in a museum and he saw the time machine and he was like, wait, I can just take technology that everybody has today or is fairly easily obtainable. And now I can go into the past and be a superhero and be rich and fuck bitches. And that's exactly what he does. But especially in a lot of Booster Gold storylines, you see him really, you know, he's sitting there trying to take advantage of the system, but Booster Gold really isn't a bad guy. So he, a lot of times you see him in a moral dilemma, like, okay, if I do this, I'll end up on top. But if I do this, I'll save these people. And he always ends up saving the people.
Still a douchebag.
He's still a douchebag. But would you rather, like, just, he would, that the thing is, he's a douchebag and he is self-centered. But when the chips are down, he's there for you. Yeah. King 810.
Actually, another obscure character I would like to see, which I know is not going to happen, it's the Bat Count.
The Bat Count?
You heard it. A Bat Cow.
Oh, bat, yeah, Bat Cow. Cow, Bat Cow. Yep, yep. Bat Cow. They, I hope that that would be a super awesome movie if they took all the super friends, not super friends, the super pets and all the bat pets and put them in the same movie and didn't have Superman or Batman in there anywhere except for maybe in the beginning or the end and just had like Ace the Bat Hound and Crypto and Streak.
Yeah.
The super cat.
Oh, God.
And, no, that would be great, because,
oh,
like...
Oh, God.
I think that would be a fucking, like, it's... That would be fun. That would be, like, the penultimate... I would go see that movie. It'd be, like, the penultimate animated movie.
That's fine. You'd be the only one in the theater.
Oh, fuck no, I wouldn't. And that's probably sad. So...
Yeah. Yes, he's calling all of us sad to go watch this.
Now... it would be a very lighthearted movie.
You could say a Disney movie.
Yeah, a Disney movie. But that would be a very lighthearted take on a genre that in recent years has taken on a very much darker tone, especially in the DC side, which leads me again to my next question. Do you think
Before we get about, do you, what was your obscure superhero?
Oh, cute question.
Question?
Question.
All right.
I mean, I could have
a said question.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know if I would watch a movie about him, but I'd definitely watch like a TV show.
You would watch him. If they had the balls to make a movie about the question, no. You would go see it.
No, because they're not going to do a good job. Now, if they had the balls to make like a TV show or a miniseries or even an anime series.
How do you know they're not going to do a good job?
Well, why?
Because the question.
Is that the way the question is? Is that, I think it's better translated in a TV show because he would be like kind of a monster of the week type of deal.
Maybe, but they could have, like, he only had one episode in Justice League Unlimited.
No, he had a good amount of episodes.
How many episodes did he have?
He had the one with Supergirl.
Well, no, I mean the one that was mainly his thing.
No, those ones were mainly his, he's an obscure character. He's gonna be like a side character. His main ones are always, there wasn't really one with him as a main because it would always be like, oh, the Huntress is the main one. The one that was with him was involving Supergirl.
That's true.
Yeah, so really, he's been in multiple episodes, but his main, he was the I told you so. I told you, motherfuckers, I told you. That was him. That was his strong point. That's why I like him, too. That he was right all along.
Yeah. So, do we think that superhero media should be more lighthearted? Kind of like, Batman's just the best example, even though I'm not too keen on the Joe Schumacher movies, but do we think it should be lighthearted, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy or Batman Forever? Or do we think it should be more dark and realistic, kind of like Captain America Winter Soldier or the Dark Knight trilogy? I think there could be arguments, like, in my head, I'm actually very conflicted on this because I do like dark and gritty, but I think especially Man of Steel went a little too dark and gritty and left a lot of the fun that I think a Superman movie should be kind of out of it. So I'm really on the fence about it. Come on, guys, tip me over one way or the other. Kenny.
This is how I feel about that, is that it depends on the hero. Batman works for a dark and gritty because that's pretty much what he is. He's a broody, dark and gritty type of guy. Superman is more of a Boy Scout, so for him to go towards that route of like a dark and gritty didn't work as well. But like if, let's say, I would say I'm with Chris, but I would say both, we should have lightheartedness and we should have realistic, but it's based on the heroes and the continuity you want to build. That's why I like Marvel so well, is that the movies that they're building for the lightheartedness works. You have Iron Man 1 through 3, you have...
3 was... Well, 3 was... It was silly, but it was dark too.
Right. Yeah. So the thing with Marvel is that they know the balance fairly well.
Yeah.
They know the balance fairly well. Like, Guardians was straight up lighthearted with like a sprinkle of dark, but there was no really grittiness. It's just dark.
Well, yeah.
But you have... all the new sequels, you know, that after Disney took over, they actually surprisingly went all dark. If you actually look, Iron Man 1 and 2, fairly lighthearted, had some fun, you know, but there wasn't really too much dark things about it. Thor, fairly lighthearted, had some fun, had some dark, well, a couple dark moments, but nothing too crazy. What else? Captain America. Basically fairly lighthearted all the way until you get to the second half of the film, and that was not dark, but that was fairly dark. So, but not like gritty. But then when you switch gears and Disney took over, the sequels, man, Iron Man 3, Captain America 2, Thor Dark World, all of them started to become like slowly transition to a dark and gritty. And then Marvel kind of threw a curveball and was like, let's put Guardian in. And that brought the lightheartedness back. And I think a little bit of both, depending on the continuity you want to build, is good. So like, if you watch Captain America, Winter Soldiers, not all dark, but the premise was fairly dark.
Yeah.
Look at Iron Man 3, not all dark, or not all lighthearted, but lighthearted, but Trevor, I thought that was hilarious. Him being the Mandarin, but, I mean, some can disagree, and I can understand. But yeah, Thor Dark World, well, I kind of got bored with that one, also same thing, you know, there's some lightheartedness, especially with Loki, you know, walking down the underground Bifrost and whatnot, was like, oh, how about this? And transforming into each of the Avengers. Now, I think, a little mix of both is always good. I think that's where DC they're hurting is because they're trying to emulate statement is, Batman, like, they're trying to emulate Christopher Nolan's Batman because it was so successful, but Batman really is one of the few heroes that can pull it off. Like, you can have a dark and gritty, like, Wolverine.
Yes.
You can definitely do that, but you can't, I don't think you, and you can have a dark and gritty, like, X-Men, but I don't feel like that's something that would be as fun. Because X-Men is, like, a fun movie. Like, Fantastic Four shouldn't be dark and gritty, because they're a fun team. Spider-Man shouldn't be dark and gritty because they're a fun team. Or he's a fun man. He's a fun guy. Like, dude, he should have wisecracking. He should have fun. He shouldn't be like Batman, but shooting webs.
I agree, but there's always a certain series, like, especially if you read the comics, there's a lot of lightheartedness, but Spider-Man, especially in the comics, there's a lot of the dichotomy. Like, it's like he's got these really lighthearted moments. His personal life is Peter Parker. Gets pretty dark dismal and bleak.
Right. But I mean, I'm just talking as in a general thing in terms of like, the if it should be dark or more realistic, is that it really depends on the hero, because it's really hard to make it dark and realistic with Superman when he's an alien. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not possible, but you really have to you really can't tread the ground that The Dark Knight or Christopher Nolan has set, because that really set the bar for dark and grittiness fairly high. And not only that, but just the way that Batman is that he's an average guy with a bunch of money and is wearing million dollar Kevlar, flying around in million dollar tanks and jets in, or in like and like airless like helicopter like things. It's just one of those things where it's like you gotta have the right hero for it. That's my opinion to it. But it can be done either way.
Yeah, well, I'll have to agree with Kenny. I mean, I can't really say it has to be one way or another because there's such a big great area between the two of them, and most of the superheroes fall in that area because not all superheroes are built like, oh, they're the good guy, they're a Mary Sue, so they have to be lighthearted, or they have a terrible past, they don't want it to be repeated again, they want to make a world better with a more effective way, so they have to be dark. It, like Kenny said, it depends on the hero. So I will actually have to say that I'm stuck in between.
I mean, just to kind of be decisive about it, I would probably have to say I would rather have most comic book movies
dark and gritty.
No, actually, lighthearted.
Yeah, lighthearted.
Because a lot of, if you read most of my favorite comic books are really lighthearted. And I think the problem is they're taking these stories that are lighthearted. They're like, well, how can we darken them up? No, just ask how you can either translate them or come up with your own stuff. But you really, like, I think especially with Superman, they really darkened him up a lot, darkened him way up. And there are comics like Superman Earth 1 where they do that, but at large, that's not what they do.
Well, and so yeah. In a sense, you're kind of coming around to what we're saying.
Well, yeah.
Based on the hero.
Part of it, too, of them being lighthearted, it's so the reader or the viewer, depending on which medium you're looking at, can connect to the hero.
Right.
Right.
Which leads me, our last question, I don't really have a good segue for that. this is just a fun question. My buddy Adrian Ramos, shout out to Adrian, came up with me with this question last night. And I thought it was so good that I had to put it in because, if you don't know, we are all a bunch of Magic the Gathering nerds.
Nerds!
Right. This is the Mystery Nerd Cast, so.
Surprise!
it's a mystery. Jinx!
So we're gonna have to, just to make it time efficient, we're gonna go with who we answered as our favorite superheroes. So, if our favorite superheroes played Magic the Gathering, what style of deck would they play and who would win? And for the who would win part, you don't actually have to vote for your own hero. So, I'm gonna start this one off. So, it's pretty obvious. Spawn would play Black Red.
Yep. So that's who I would put Spawn as, Black Red.
He would play Black Red because he would kill your creatures left and right, and then he would he's full of rage and fury. He would play a bunch of burn spells. He would kill you. He'd kill you as quickly and brutally as possible. Maybe not the most efficient way, but Spawn never goes for the efficient kill. He either goes for the flashy kill or the kill he can manage at the time. So. Let's talk to Miguel. Miguel, your character.
Well,
what magic deck would they have?
Well, it's a really odd one too. I will say that Deadpool will play a rainbow deck, and it will be Dartoon Nastiness deck.
Yeah, I could see that. I think you're right. Deadpool would play an obscure deck. But he would be rainbow, so Door to Nothingness, I could see that. Actually, that would probably be fairly appropriate that he would play a Door to Nothingness deck.
Yeah. Or some wonky deck, yeah. Like, yes.
A homebrew.
Yeah. He would be the homebrew.
He will be basically your beginner player who just goes with the flashy stuff.
He'd be the Isaac Berlew.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Isaac.
Shout out to Isaac. He'd be the Isaac Berlew. Of the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Just build the most random off the wall deck.
And he will just get happy when he managed to win one single game with it.
That's true. It's very true. I'm thinking maybe he would play a Battle of Wits deck.
That too.
Just for the comedy of setting over 200 cards on the table.
Anything obscure. Yeah, anything obscure.
And if there's wonky, he will play it.
Right. Oh, you know what? He'd build an unhinged deck, dude.
Of course, that will be his favorite shit. Unhinged.
There we go.
Yeah,
because he's unhinged.
Yeah.
What about you, Kenny? What would Batman play? It's actually pretty obvious what Batman would play, but what would Batman play?
Batman would play black and blue. Like, he would be blue. Blue is his main deck with a splash of black. Reason why is because blue, he's the world's greatest detective. He's the chess master, as I said before. He's 50 to 100 steps ahead of everyone. So what's blue? They're the controller. They're the counterspell magic. They're the, oh, that's what you're going to do? I already got an answer for that. Is that what you're going to do? I'm going to answer to that. So blue is his definite main staple, but black is where he'll do the kill, or in magic is where he'll do his kill spells, is that he'll use intimidate. He'll go around you. He'll be able to, you know what? He's going to run ninjutsu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would run ninjutsu.
Yeah. Right. Black, blue ninjutsu. He's going to run, Ninja of the Deep Scrolls and the Nizuri rat, you know, just get them in and then, but if anything, and of course he has dead parents, so he might want him back. No. but overall, he would be blue to control, black for the kill or black for the win.
Now, honestly, I give Batman a lot of shit. Cause I just, like, everybody talks him up and I just want to fucking take him down from the pedestal. But I think he would win the magic tournament between these three.
Yeah, in terms of how he plays, if Spawn plays a creature, Batman's going to answer that. If Spawn goes in for brutal kill, Batman already knows about that and it's just going to be like Thoughtseize. You know, he's going to do something to get, he's going to duress him. He's going to Thoughtseize. If Deadpool's going to play obscure deck, so he's really not going to
actually
win.
You know what though? Cause the thing is, if you watch the death battle, Deadpool plays or doesn't play, but acts in such a confusing way that he even confuses himself sometimes.
Right. So
I think honestly, I think Spawn would play a little too straightforward to beat Batman. Cause I feel that, you know, Spawn would go in for the rage kill. And if he was fast enough, of course, you know,
right.
We're talking hypothetically. He could kill Batman, but I think Batman would, at least in the match, win the match if he didn't win game one.
Right.
Now, with Deadpool, I think actually Deadpool would be actually a more fitting opponent for Batman because Batman would go, this guy's going to do this. And then Deadpool would do the opposite. And
right,
then
but
he would think, oh, Deadpool, this is how Deadpool is. He's going to do this. And then he would do exactly what Batman would expect him to do. So it's
no, but I think
reverse psychology.
Right, but I think in a way, Batman would probably, if he knows like Deadpool as a person, like he doesn't know like, oh, I don't know what he's going to play. Batman would probably give up game one to figure out the deck.
Yes,
if you think about it. And then Batman would be like, oh, he's playing a door to nothing deck. All right.
I feel that's what Batman would do most of the time.
Is give up game one.
Is he would basically lose game one every single time. not every single time, but 90% of the time. And then game two and game three, he would sideboard to crush.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, he'll try and beat you game one. But at the tail end, he's like, oh, game one lost? Whatever. By the way, all that moves that you just did, and even the things you sideboarded out, because I pretty much can guess what you did. By the way, I already got answers to them.
So I think Batman would win the Magic the Gathering game.
Yeah,
it's not much of a contest. I love Spawn, and his deck would be brutal. And, you know, if you're a Magic the Gathering player, you know any player can be beat by any player at any point in time. But I think Batman as a whole would dominate.
Yeah, so, he would.
He's a master tactician.
Yeah.
The only person I think if him and Lex Luthor really sat down.
Now that you brought in Lex Luthor, what color is he?
He's definitely blue.
He's blue. He's almost the same as Batman.
He's almost the same as Batman.
Blue red?
I would say
blue red, maybe.
He actually fits blue-red more than blue-black because there's no intimidation. He's blue-red.
Also, yeah. Blue-red, a lot of blue-red strategies incorporate the big finish. And that's what Lex Luthor's about.
Yep.
The Doomsday Machine. The big finish. You get Pyromancer's Ascension out there, infinite turns.
No, he's the one who's... He would do infinite turns, but I think he would be the one who would do like, oh, I got all this mana? By the way, I countered everything you did. I'm going to take all that mana that you were going to use. He's going to be like mana drains and stuff like that and be like, epic experiment.
Oh! Or just something stupid like that. So, yeah, I think Lex Luthor would definitely bleed. Because, like I said, when you're winning, the thing is when you're winning with a blue-red deck, it's not just, oh, I scrape by the skin of my teeth. It's, you fucking won. Yeah. Like, you won. That's it. Oh, you just dealt 40 damage to me in a single turn? You win. You're taking infinite turns? You win. You just pulled out every fatty in your deck?
You win.
All right, guys. So, signing out for the Mystery Nerdcast. This is Chris Machingo. Have a nice night. That was the second ever podcast, Nerdist podcast. I hope you guys
Nerdist
enjoyed.
Nerdist podcast? We're the Nerdist
now? We're the Nerdist. We're the Nerdist podcast.
Big
we're gonna
fan,
have to edit
Chris
that
Hardwick.
Out.
Big fan.
Chris Hardwick, I'm going to steal your name from you. I hope you don't mind. My name's Chris, too, so we can share it. It's okay. I need your fame.